This is a recording of the John Anthony Conference Call with the United Nations Foundation, September 23rd, 2011 at 2:30 p.m. Central Time. Excuse me, everyone. We now have our speakers in conference. Our speakers for today are going to be Reed Deschen, Prashendra Van Leeuwen, and Dr. Kendra Yumkala. And please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of the presentation, we will open the floor for questions, and at that time, instructions will be given if you'd like to ask a question. I would now like to turn the conference over. Mr. Deschen, you may begin, sir.
Thank you, and thank you all for joining us. If you were hearing that same dramatic music we did, you'll be fully pumped up for this call. I'm Reed Deschen. I'm the Vice President for Energy and Climate at the United Nations Foundation, and I'm joined by my colleague, Prashendra Van Leeuwen, who's our Senior Director for Energy Access. And also on the line and our featured speaker today is Dr. Kendra Yumkala, who is the Director General of UNIDO, the UN Industrial Development Organization, and more importantly for this context, Chair of UN Energy, which is a coordinating group of 20 UN agencies on energy issues. We're here to talk about an exciting new initiative that the Secretary General Ban Ki-moon launched this week in New York called Sustainable Energy for All. The Secretary General, as I'm sure you know, was just reelected to a second five-year term, and on Wednesday, in his annual report to the General Assembly, he outlined his vision for what he wants to accomplish in the next 5 years. I want to read just a few sentences from that to give you a context. He said, "As I see it, we have five imperatives, five generational opportunities to shape the world of tomorrow by the decisions we make today. The first and greatest of these is sustainable development, the imperative of the 21st century. Saving our planet, lifting people out of poverty, advancing economic growth, these are one and the same fight. We must connect the dots between climate change, water scarcity, energy shortages, global health, food security, and women's empowerment. Solutions to one problem must be solutions for all." I'm going to turn now to the Director General and ask him to explain what is the Sustainable Energy for All initiative and why is it important?
Well, the reality we face after almost 11, 12 years of implementing programs across the world to achieve the Millennium Development Goals, we recognize now that without access to energy, we cannot achieve any of the Millennium Development Goals in poor countries. Second, we also realize that 64 to 70% of greenhouse gases come from energy-related activities, power generation, transport, heating, buildings, industry, etc. So without an energy revolution, to be specific, a clean energy revolution, we cannot solve climate change. So in recognizing these linkages, climate change, poverty reduction, and MDG achievement, the Secretary General now is putting emphasis on promoting universal access to energy for the poor, improving energy efficiency around the world to reduce energy use and also emissions, and third, to promote the use of renewables as much as we can, or clean energy solutions as much as we can in energy services. So we are trying to attack poverty, income poverty, energy poverty, and at the same time ensure that, in fact, we have a clean energy revolution. That's why this initiative to promote and accelerate the adoption of these goals worldwide.
Dr. Yumkala, you were born and raised in one of the poorest countries in the world, Sierra Leone in West Africa. From your personal experience, why is this initiative important to the context that you grew up in?
First of all, Africa has 587 of those living with no connection to electricity. You have about 400 million in India. So of the 1.4 billion that have no access, almost a billion are in Africa and also in India. In the case of Sierra Leone, I mean, one grew up at times without electricity. One, even in the university as we studied, most times we used candlelight. We didn't have energy to pump water up to the university, so you go down to the stream to collect water, to wash, and do other things. So one had that experience, and now you see over the last few years in Sierra Leone, it's been the same problem. But in addition, poor countries are cutting down forests to make charcoal for use as primary energy source. So you see both agriculture and the quest for charcoal and biomass promoting, accelerating deforestation. But what is also most important, we estimate about 2 million people die every year from indoor air pollution related to use of biomass in their primary energy needs. That number is double the number that dies from malaria, double the number that dies from tuberculosis. So it is also a social problem, but worst of all, it is mainly women and children who are dying. One of the estimates from the Global Alliance for Cook Stove is that women and girls, for example, in some developing countries spend 20 hours a week collecting firewood, and they're exposed to all kinds of hazards, including rape, but at the same time come home cooking and choking and poisoning their families because they're using biomass.
Director General, energy poverty has been a fact of life for a long time. Why is this the right time to take this on, and what kind of strategy can be effective in addressing it?
Well, it is because we see a convergence between food security, energy security, and water security. These are all connected now, and worst of all, climate change is becoming a major risk multiplier, affecting all three. So, or in the reverse, energy emissions from energy systems, making climate change worse and also exacerbating food security and water security. The time is right now because we feel there's already an energy revolution. Let me give you some examples already. We saw from 2004 to 2010 an increase in investment in clean energy solutions from $50 billion to $240 billion. We already see in the case of Germany, for example, in 2010 alone, Germany added 9 gigawatts of rooftop solar PV solutions, 9 gigawatts. We also see investments that are flowing now into R&D. We've seen a major decline in the cost of power generated by solar energy. We see revolutions now taking in place in the introduction of new batteries. So my point is you have private sector institutions and energy companies really trying to hook up to this green energy revolution. However, we are pushing this initiative with the Secretary General because we need public policy to even accelerate the pace. New incentives, new regulations, new public-private partnerships to support R&D to lower the cost of alternative energy. It is not just about climate change, it's also about energy security, even within the context of the United States.
The Secretary General, at the time of his announcement, also announced the formation of a new high-level group on sustainable energy for all, with significant private sector involvement. Why is that important?
Because the money we need to accelerate this revolution is mainly in the hands of the private sector. We estimate that roughly to achieve universal access to energy, let's say to connect the 1.4 billion people to electricity by 2030, we estimate an annual investment of almost $40 billion per year. Now, that kind of cash is in the hands of the private sector, but also the technologies we need to deploy. And so this new group is dominated by private sector entities, bankers. I'm very pleased to see that Mr. Charles Holliday, the chairman of Bank of America, is co-chair of this group. We have energy companies there, the CEO of Mazda, the CEO of Vestas, CEO of Suntech. We have some energy utilities there, for example, the CEO of Eskom in South Africa, and so on. So it is heavily dominated by those institutions that have the financial resources and also the technologies to bring to bear. We've also added ministers, for example, Minister Farooq Abdullah, Minister of Renewable Energy of India. We have also Minister Lobau, Minister of Energy of Brazil. So we're developing a multi-stakeholder platform that will be able to develop an action agenda that will indicate public policies that have worked in other countries where they've helped to facilitate the deployment of clean energy solutions. We want to learn from the initiative of Secretary Chu in his clean energy ministerial. They're doing wonderful work. We want to bring some of those solutions in and scale them up globally. In addition, we've brought in foundations, the UN Foundation. We're talking to two other big foundations around the world to join this because we need civil society and the public and the media. When you look at energy efficiency, a lot of what we have to do has to do with behavioral change, how we use energy as individuals and how we might conserve energy as individuals. So it's a broad coalition we've built with this new group. Now the job is to develop that action agenda to be launched in Rio.
Well, thank you very much. And for the media on the call, would you get your questions ready? I want to turn briefly to my colleague, Richenda Van Leeuwen, who's deeply familiar with the challenge of providing energy services, not just through big utilities, but through small businesses on the ground in rural communities. Richenda, how are we going to translate this objective into thriving markets that will actually deliver services to people?
Well, one of the things that we're working with at the UN Foundation is we've developed and launched a new practitioner network where we're working with a variety of energy service companies that are delivering energy access services to the very poor in the communities, both in households and also for small businesses, for medical centers in the communities around the world that lack access to electricity and clean cooking solutions as well. Part of the work that we're doing there recognizes that in fact, although grid electrification is often the preferable solution, extension of the grid is not going to be able to reach all of the isolated communities that still lack access to electricity. And many of these can best be served by small-scale renewable energy solutions, whether through solar home systems or whether through microgrids. So we've developed a strong network of practitioners already operating in this space to really look and identify what are the residual market barriers and how can we as a community work better and harmonize better to be able to help deliver at scale to reach the universal energy access goal of 2030.
And Richenda, the recommendations that this group is bringing forward are meant to feed into Rio. Could you explain what that is about and how that would happen?
Well, what we're really looking at is looking at both the set of market, residual market barriers, whether those are import tariffs or duties, whether those are quality issues around delivery services, whether it's the maintenance that's needed to ensure that, in fact, you're providing sustainable services. So we're developing a set of recommendations that we are delivering to the Secretary General's High-Level Action Group for Sustainable Energy for All, which will then feed into the Rio Plus 20 conference in June of next year.
And for anybody who doesn't know what that is, it's the 20th anniversary of the Rio Earth Summit, and it will be in early June in Brazil next year. And the objective of the Secretary General is to lay down concrete recommendations for commitments by governments and from the private sector to take action on these objectives. With that, I'd like to ask if there are questions from the reporters on the call.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touchtone phones now. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, you may do so now by pushing the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phones now. Our first question comes from Ari Nader with BNA.
Hey, thanks for taking my question. The press release said one of the goals of this initiative was to double the share of renewable energy in the global energy mix. Do you have any figures on what it would increase to from what? And as a follow-up question, I'm wondering if you can elaborate more on how you plan on achieving the goals of this initiative. Thanks.
Well, we, based on various estimates now, we see from the IPCC and some other studies, the current rate of deployment ranges, depending on which country, from anywhere from 7% to 12%. So when we say doubling, we're saying, okay, let's put it at about 30%. So increase the share to about 30%. Now, this is not binding on any one country. some countries are starting from a low base, some are very advanced, Germany, Brazil, and others, Austria, Denmark, Norway, they're all advanced in terms of the share in electricity supply. So it's an aspirational goal. How do we intend to achieve this? This is why we've set up this high-level group. We're developing a strategy and what we call an action agenda to see how we will achieve each of these goals, looking first at very poor countries, and then on the efficiency side, looking at solutions that will be working in more advanced countries. But developing countries, because we also see a link between the deployment of renewables as a way of also having what we call decentralized or distributive power energy solutions. Richenda just mentioned that you don't have to wait for the grid to come to a community. The communities can generate their own energy and probably feed to others. So mini-grid solutions, small hydro are part of this, and therefore renewables have a great role to play for to achieve the access goal itself.
Thank you.
I might just add that the Secretary General's global goals are meant to apply to all countries, so there's room for a great improvement in developed countries such as the United States on energy efficiency and renewable energy. That will be part of the call for action. Could we have another question?
Thank you. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, you may do so now by pushing star followed by one on your touchtone phones now. Again, to ask a question, the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phones. We are currently holding for questions.
Well, in that case, we will go ahead and make a final point here. In December of last year, the General Assembly declared 2012 to be the International Year of Sustainable Energy for All. Richenda, what does that mean and why is that significant?
Well, it's a tremendous opportunity to recognize through the UN system the role of energy, as Dr. Jim Keller has already mentioned, in helping to spur achievement of the Millennium Development Goals. It's the first time that the UN has had a year specifically around energy and particularly focusing on the need for sustainable energy and really for energy access and achieving universal energy access, both in terms of electricity and also in terms of cleaner cooking solutions, again, as Dr. Jim Keller has already referred to. So it's an opportunity really to mobilize the global community, the international community, both to recognize the needs that are out there, but also the opportunities that we have to work together in meeting those needs.
Dr. Jim Keller, somebody who works within the UN system and with the diversity of countries, what is the significance of an endorsement from the full General Assembly?
Well, it's an important political endorsement. It's been very difficult to get energy on the agenda at the General Assembly for almost two decades. So we feel that this was a major shift, that you had all countries agreeing that, yes, energy for development is a real issue, that without access to energy you cannot have sustainable development. So we see as a major shift, and therefore, based on that momentum, we're setting up this multi-stakeholder group with the private sector to see now how can we solve the problem.
We will ask one more time for questions, and then perhaps Dr. Jim Keller could make a closing comment.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, the star key followed by the one key will get you into the queue.
There are no immediate questions. Dr. Jim Keller, as you look forward, what does success look like if this initiative of the Secretary General goes forward? What kind of concrete results do you hope to see both within the UN system and also in the developing world?
Well, we will put down some specific markers. For example, in the case of Africa, can we add another 40 gigawatts of power generation in the next 10 years? Can we connect the 200 million Africans to electricity? The same with India. Can we reduce that number of 400 million without access to probably 200 million? So we'll put few markers like this to really have indicators. Hopefully, we'll be able to launch what we call an energy access index a regular reporting on this, and also reporting on what is working and what is not working. It is also our hope, as I mentioned, that based on the initiative of Secretary Chu with the Clean Energy Ministerial, that we get the rich countries to be able to develop what we call technology partnerships to make these green technologies, information on them available, cost reductions, so that we can observe some cost reductions in these technologies and a rapid deployment. So in developing this action agenda, we will put short-term measures and also intermediate-term measures while we look at the 2030 goal.
Well, thank you, Dr. Yomkela, for being on the call. Thanks for those who have participated. For further information, we have a website up on this specific topic, surprisingly enough, called sustainableenergyforall.org. So if you can type that many letters, you can find the website, and we look forward to staying in further contact. And once again, thanks for participating.